Welcome to Ubu Dub number 6. To be bringing you this interview with Per Ubu and soundman Nadan as we were sitting on the Eurostar going under the English Channel back to our homes after gigs in Rotterdam and Eeklo in a replacement van which provided much amusement and conversation. Anyway, grab a cup of coffee, enjoy, and at the end of the podcast we have a cover version of 30 Seconds Over Tokyo by a band we met in Oslo called BCP. I'll tell you more about them at the end. Welcome to Ubu Dub, and we're here on the Ubu bus with David.
Hi.
And Keith.
Hello.
Chris.
Hello.
Nadan.
Hello.
And Gagarin.
Hi.
And we are sitting on a bus that was previously occupied by a band. Should we call them
Top Loader? They left this van a mess. I can't believe it. They have a hit record and they leave the van a mess. Keith did pick up a good size cable. Thank you.
Thank you, Top Loader.
And there's a they left a boom box, and which I'm tempted to take home. And there is about 70 pounds worth of alcohol in the place, rolling up and down,
opened the door and it all fell out onto the pavement.
We opened the door and there's 12 bottles of liquor, you know, that fell out of this thing. What do these people do?
Yeah.
Top Loader.
Top Loader.
Yeah, because I was going to say, should we not name them?
No, Top Loader.
So yes, our van broke down. And so we have a van that wasn't cleared out before we got it, but it was a good weekend, wasn't it, guys?
It was a good weekend. Somebody...
Yeah, it was a good weekend.
They're all going to go show.
It was a good weekend.
It was two sellout shows, the first in Rotterdam and the second in Eeklo. Is it pronounced Eeklo? Dids is the... pronunciation master. So you're now what, 5-6 gigs in? How has it changed from gig number one?
Well, gig number one, the actual first one, Ramsgate, was exciting but loose.
I think that would be true to say.
So is that to say you're tight now?
We're loose in a different way
now. Absolutely, yeah. If you want some explanation of a difficult point diplomatically placed, ask Chris.
Well, yes, Chris, tell us about how you approach, because we haven't spoken to you on Ubu Dub before. So your approach to the long goodbye gig, what is your placement? And are you having a good time, more to the point?
I'm having a good time. Sometimes I don't get to do what I want to do, but then that's probably not a bad thing. But otherwise, no, my rule is always, if working with a singer, follow the singer. Everything else comes second.
I think David might agree with that.
Yeah, follow the singer.
And Nadan, so you do the sound. I know you don't want to speak, but Ubu Dub listeners really want to hear.
I also follow the singer.
Tell us how you first met David.
I did the sound for him in Geneva. And everybody was telling me, be careful, this guy is crazy. So I was really scared, but finally went really good, easy. It was easy, actually.
Is that the story you would have told, David?
Well, I met Nadan on the floor. I was trying to get, I was up on the stage and there was a gap between the stage and the step, and I hit the gap instead of the step and ended up on the floor. And You know, he was, Dan was back at the desk, and I'm laying there on the floor saying, help, help, you know, and nobody does anything. They all just stare at you, and Dan comes running up and helps me up, you know. I don't, but I'm disturbed by this reaction that, oh, he's crazy, you got to be careful. What were they really, was they really saying that?
Oh, David, yeah. Everybody but says that. But
I had never met these people
they
before.
They saw you in the show when you pick up the monitor and try to hit somebody. Stuff like this.
Well, that's theater.
That was in France.
That everybody yeah. does that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure Top Loader do that.
Top Loader, I'm sure yeah. do that.
And so you do sound for loads of people. Are Perubu any different to any other band when it comes to your job?
Different.
That's like, just that means better.
There is no band like Perubu. It's Perubu.
You told me once that David had a special instruction for you on how you treat his sound level.
Yeah, he said to treat it like an instrument.
Yeah.
And actually, I learned a lot with David. Especially about monitors mm-hmm. and a lot of stuff. Actually, I keep on learning stuff. But that's great.
What have you learned today?
Today, I need to speak to this fucking phone.
Well, and you saw quite a few donkeys in a field, which has pissed Robert off.
Six.
Which we let you six. Sorry, and we like to do that daily as well. So, Keith. First time.
Before we leave Nadan.
Oh, okay. Let's go back to the. Because Nadan really didn't want to do this. So
I'd like him to deliver his exit line, just word that we can hear. We know what he said. I've reported what he said before, but I'd like him on tape.
Well, we should set the scene, which is this is a couple of minutes before you're all about to go on stage. Nadan goes out before everyone.
And he says,
don't suck.
Or
I quit.
I want him doing the whole line.
All right, you got to
so
do it again.
So we can have it down. We'll use it. I want the whole line.
Don't suck or I quit.
You didn't do the pause quite right.
No, we can edit that.
Try it again.
No, stop.
And then leave the proper amount of time or I quit. Go ahead.
Don't suck or I quit.
Better. Still not ideal. But we'll deal.
I'm really happy not to be on stage.
Yeah, okay. We can move on now to Keith.
Yeah, Keith.
Because that was quite a lot like what happens on stage just then. That whole scenario, like managing it to the microsecond.
So this is the first time we've got to speak to you. And you're covering a lot of parts with your one guitar.
Well, not as much as Gagarin has to cover, let's be honest.
Oh, no. But people don't really notice that so much. If you watch social media, everybody says, what, no bass player? And I actually answered someone once, and I said, Keith does the lot. So explain for people who don't know the intricacies of what you do with your instrument.
Well, it's very simple, really. It's just that a guitar has six strings, and I've got some very simple and fairly cheap technology that can isolate the output from each string, so I can tune the strings all differently. So I can tune the lower string down to the bass register. So when I play the low string on a guitar, it comes out like a bass. It's pretty simple.
Okay. I was hoping for a lot more complications there.
No, it's
so that we could be blasted with
No,
brilliance.
I'm not going to blind you with science, because I'd blind myself in that case. It's very unscientific. It's quite simple.
And Dids, we've spoken to you on a previous Ubu Dub podcast about all the things that you have to cover now that you're a few more gigs in. Has your work technique changed as you go into these gigs?
Yeah, I'm trying to move from a sort of operator to being a musician again, really. So it's sort of getting past the technicalities and being able to play and actually work with the sound rather than just offer up what's needed to fill spaces and things. So that's really where it's changing. Just becoming familiar, moving to muscle memory rather than brain memory.
I think there's also some about of misdirection in your question, in that really it's Keith and Dids are making sound, and all that the technology does is allow them to make more sound.
Yeah.
You know, and the show, the concert is not so much a collection of programs, though there is programming going on, but the programming is there simply to enable a framework for sound, and it's the sound that's creating the music and the songs. I mean, everybody is devoted to the song, and they know what the song is supposed to capture, and what or deliver. And it's a question of establishing a basic framework that holds things together, an alpha and an omega, but that can be very minimal, you know. Even in terms of the drums, I particularly don't know about Chris or anybody else, but I particularly see the drums as something that delivers atmosphere. They're not there to keep the band together. They're not there to create rhythm, because the rhythm is inherent in the song. Primarily to me, it's the creation of atmosphere, very much related to the way drums, as it were in the 19th century classical music. You know, when the timpani is not holding anything together, it's there as an atmospherical event. But I don't know how Chris would feels about that. It's just that I would be, you know, my tendency for drums is to move away from the concept of a kit drum, you know. And if I had my way, I'd ban cymbals. I hate cymbals. They take up a lot of room, and they're a crutch. I mean, I've and this may not be true of Chris or other people, but I know, because a lot of my experiences with other drummers who aren't Chris, you know, and I suspect that cymbals are a crutch. How do you feel about that?
I love my cymbals.
But are they your crutch, Chris?
Could you play without cymbals?
I could. Would I want to? Probably not. Because for me, the sound of the kit is the sound of the whole kit. I don't think of the snare drum and the bass drum and the toms being separate things. The sound I try to make is a whole sound, and often a kind of white, noisy container for everything else helps to bind everything together.
In other words, the cymbals.
Yeah. And that's them.
Fill the space. Yeah.
So,
noise container.
And so the function of the cymbals, as you're concerned, is to create this container.
Yeah, they bind everything together, and they also indicate inside the rhythm details, which help to keep everything rolling forward. I mean, I agree with you that you don't really need somebody going toof paff to keep the rhythm, because the rhythm is there. And anyway, rhythm is a flexible thing. So in order for something to sound right, it may need to be speeding up here and slowing down there. And, you know, you need a little bit of anticipation, so you leave a little bit, all that sort of thing. So it's elastic, that's why.
Well, this, which brings up sort of an interesting point about, there's a song, Lovely Day. And to me, Lovely Day is utterly dependent on this sort of West Coast session musician, boom, tock, doom, tock, on the drums. The doom, tock are not there rhythmically. They're performing no rhythmical function. They're simply to connect in the listener's mind with this whole school of song design and delivery from the West Coast. So, which is, I believe, why people keep interpreting that song as a happy, optimistic end to the album, simply because it's going boom, tock, boom, tock, West Coast, L.A., you know,
Wrecking Crew style. Yeah,
yeah, exactly, and that sets up the entire thing, where people aren't all of a sudden the every line in that song is dark and disturbed, you know. They don't hear that. They don't interpret it. I mean, they even probably know the words that are dark and disturbed, you know. The wind turbines shredding seagulls again. That's good. You know, all that sort of stuff is disguised and flavored and resonated by the dum tock. So there is the drums playing what seems to be a pretty hardcore rhythmical structure, but that's not the function. It's totally atmospheric, regardless of the dum tock.
It's an acting role for the drums. The drums are, in this case, you know, performing a necessary function, which is to be invariant and basically not listen to you or anybody else, but just go boom, tack, as a kind of framework mm-hmm. in which everything else happens. And that's an acting role.
It's an acting role.
It's not it's not necessarily an expressive musical role. It's just...
Exactly. Well, that's to me what drums should... You know, I'm not into some, you know, we don't have to agree on any of this stuff, but you know, to me, drums are need to be now actors. And I think I picked up a lot of this notion of things by listening to all that pop radio and the hip-hop stuff on Radio 1 late at night, you know, where the drums have nothing to do with the rhythm, you know. The rhythm is coming from synthesizers or the song itself or whatever. And the drums are actors in the piece. So I suppose that's the contamination.
And my job here, I suppose, doing this, is to be the person who doesn't know anything about music and to ask the questions that other people who don't know anything about music. But Keith... knows a lot about music. But one thing that fascinates me, and that I'm probably a bit scared to ask, and maybe other people would be, on Fortunate Son, when you come in with that with that kind of thing.
You don't like that bit, do you?
The thing is, no, it's not that I don't like it. I love it. But it never changes the shock of the first time you play that each time you play the song. And by the second or third time, it's like it sort of beds in. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of like it grows. How brave do you have to be to come in with something? Because it's kind of slightly off key of everything else. You're out there on your own because the rhythm's all going.
Yeah, well, it's that's also kind of not properly tonal. So the strings are tuned to quarter tones. Which basically means the guitar is completely out of tune to, you know, by normal standards. But because I'm playing it in exactly the same way each time, it means that thing that comes out in the first time I play through those chords, it comes out sounding random and out of tune. But because I keep repeating it, it's out of tune exactly the same way each time.
Yeah.
So that creates a kind of hook, I guess. It's like it becomes distinctive by dint of basic repetition. Again, it's very, very simple.
It's brave. It is brave, don't you think? It is brave. I mean, it's not safe.
It seems... I don't ever put something down or add something to a tune because I'm trying to be brave. It's simply what I normally come up with, the first thing that happens. I mean, I did all those parts for Long Goodbye and also stuff for the previous record as well. I did them all kind of in the space of, you know, a day.
A good thing to admit?
Not that you can. I'd been, in my defence, I'd been listening to the tunes a lot before then. But then when I went round to Gagarin's pad and we put this guitar stuff down, we did it all in 6 hours.
Yeah.
Amazing. So Italy next. I'm going to go around each one of you asking you what you're looking forward to in Italy.
I'm looking forward to fish and chips in Milan, but we're not going to Milan, so I don't know what we're going to do.
Keith?
I'd like to point out before Keith does it,
David,
that the best fish and chips in the world that I have ever, 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 ever had were from Milan. The second best were from the Jewish quarter of Rome. and I can't remember what they're called, but brilliant. Get
Isn't it?
Bacala.
So if anybody's coming to our gigs, please bring bacala.
salt cod.
It's just cod.
So, Keith, what would you like fans to bring you?
Well, bring me the same stuff and I'll give my share to David because he deserves it.
Chris, are you looking forward to playing Italy?
Yeah, sure. But I also, like everybody else, looking forward to eating in Italy.
You know, it is important. I don't think people understand how important a good meal is when you're sort of getting like 4 or 5 hours sleep a night. Nadan.
Coffee.
Tomatoes.
Really?
Yeah. They have lovely tomatoes, you know. Those sort of thick ones sliced beautifully with maybe a little bit of olive oil and a little bit of oregano on the top. Yeah.
So there we go. I'll try to do that more often for you because I really enjoyed it. I hope you really enjoyed it too. And now we're going to play some music. It's always been the intention of the podcast that we have guest appearances. So if you've got a cover version or if you've got something to say about Pere Ubu, please get in touch. And for those signed up to the newsletter, I'm trying to get one together for this weekend with a special offer in it. Anyway, here we go with Basement Cluster Project, otherwise known as BCP. They've recorded a 3-track EP that they've financed themselves called The Intrusion Box. You can listen to it on SoundCloud. I think there's some other places too, so Google it. And it's been created on Game Boy and guitars. Nils creates his own instruments and builds them all except for the guitars. And the vocals are by Alex. Sit back. Don't sit back, actually. I'd sit up. It's pretty damn good.
Turn him back on a suicide. space, rage crawling through my sides. Spouting comes on my soul, no one else I will. This rain won't ever seem to end. It seems like time just never began. 30 seconds and a long, long ride. 30 seconds and a place to hide. 30 seconds over Tokyo. 30 seconds over Tokyo. 30 seconds over Tokyo. 30 seconds over Tokyo. 30 seconds over Tokyo.